worship with us just a little bit more. You can just continue to worship. Let's just magnify the Lord. If you're a visitor or you're visiting online or you're in here, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you this morning and how much we're thankful that you're here and part of this service. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. All the glory, all the praise belongs to you, Jesus. There's none like you, Jesus. Your love. There are people here, Lord, that were struggling even last night. You know their thoughts. Feeling so alone, so desperate. Putting on a front that everything was okay. But Lord, they need you this morning. There's people watching. You're the only answer. You're the only answer. The government's not the answer. Donald Trump's not the answer. A pastor, a friend, a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend leaves us empty. But you, Jesus. You, Jesus. Only you. You're the safe spot. You're the room of peace that we can hide in. You're the eternal place of he that dwells in the secret place. You'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're that place. You're our safe place. You're the Redeemer. The answer. You're the answer to all of our questions. You're the answer to hatred, malice, strife, racism. You're the answer to the question of sin, guilt, fear, anxieties, panic attacks, addictions of every sort. Only you, Jesus. You're the answer. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You've provided. You've provided a way of escape. It's not through addictions. It's not through anger. It's through your love and your life. Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus. If you're watching through the camera or you're in here, the family of God is not a church, it's not a denomination, it's not something you join. Your commitment to Jesus. It's not a denomination. It's not a political party. It's your coming to know Jesus. He's provided access. How do you do that? It's simple. Call on Him. Ask Him to come in. And when you ask Him to come in, the world, I've seen a lot of apologetic pastors and people try to gain some kind of popularity by being apologetic towards the absolutes of the Word of God. Any preacher that ever tells you now, I've read this thing from front to back and up and down and over again. But any preacher that ever tells you that this is a lot of, there's a lot of gray here, there's no gray here. No gray. Absolute. There's a lot of love here. Absolute love. The only thing I would apologize for is the preachers that did not love people enough to tell them the truth. Well, it's because they want to gain people and they want to gain large communities, large congregations, and somehow that gives them the mystique in their minds that they have somehow accomplished something. But if people wake up in eternal darkness because of some preacher that led them down a road, preachers get cute. They get drop the mic cute. They want to be popular and they want people to say, wow, he's got a slang, he's got a bang with his words, he's got something really popular to say, and yet they leave the congregations in a sense of a grayness. When they tell the LGBT community, come in, we'll accept you, we say the same thing. We'll accept you as you are coming in. But there's a blood of Jesus that will save you. It will cleanse you. And it will change you. Where pastors and people get cute, where they get real cute and they think they're really doing somebody a service, is when these people are really investigating what does it mean for true Christianity, and they say, can I stay the same? And preachers will like, well, he's a loving God and there's really just some gray areas that I haven't quite figured it out. Well, it's in here. Figure it out, Pastor. And tell them in love. God loves you beyond words. He'll help you with your addictions. He'll help you with your... But no, you can't stay the same, because if you stay the same, you'll wind up in judgment. You'll wind up in the lake of fire. You can't. There's no medium. There's no like... You say, well, God's the final judge, Pastor. You're not. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if we can't trust this, I read a lot of books. But books don't do anything to solidate or to solidify my doctrine. My doctrine's not my doctrine. My doctrine's His. If I can't show you 4, 5, 6, 7 in context scriptures on anything I say, than just say that's his opinion, and it is. But I don't stand up here behind this place and give you my opinion. Hallelujah. Well, that started different than what I thought it was going to. But those of you that are watching through the streaming, we love you so much. And those of you that are in a place, tell people the truth. Tell them the truth. For God's sake, tell them the truth. In love. Don't be happy that people are going to hell, or let's tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Maestro, I think you've done your part for the time being. Stay with us. This party has not yet started. Hallelujah. We're still in the celebration mode. Amen. We're still in the celebration mode. If you have not seen, you know, all the memes that have come out in the last few days, you know, even the air feels more affordable. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it's incredible. And there's so many different things that have been being said, you know, worldwide. And I don't know how many of those things are really actually true as far as all the changes that have taken place. You kind of wait and figure those out as they come in. But you've got all these countries all around the world, not only in the United States, that are making concessions, and Europe saying, we want to buy our gas from you instead of Russia now. And Hamas is saying, you know, we think now we can probably come to some peace terms if you guys want to sit down and talk about it. And Iran has already said some things about, like, you know what, maybe we'll just, I think they've said some stuff, and maybe they're saying, I think we'll postpone any kind of future bombing of Israel. And it's like when I was a kid and mom, you know, couldn't get me to straighten up, and she'd say, Daddy will be home in 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, I'll clean my room. What was it that you wanted me to do? Because Daddy had a big belt. And he loved me, but he changed things. He really changed things. Stuff got done that mama couldn't get done, but when daddy got there, you know, and just knowing daddy was coming, got stuff done. So Marty said the other day, I don't have Facebook. I think he said, I don't know if it's on Facebook, Instagram, or someplace, but Amber told me that he said that even the red ants in his yard are looking for cover. They're scouring for cover. So I love that. So things are really starting to change. The world's changing. And again, we're not putting our trust in a man, but we're going to celebrate. I want to read to you this morning a blog from Mario Morello, who I really love, trust. And he'll say some things, because we want to say some things according to the Word of God. And we're going to have a celebration more at the end of this service. This blog was entitled, No Weapon Formed Against Him Prospered, and it came out on November the 9th. No weapon formed against him prospered. No American in the modern era has faced the kind of hatred President Trump faced. There is no politician in our lifetime who has been attacked like this man. As Richard Porter said today, it is a comeback story of the ages. Despite 2 impeachments, 2 assassination attempts, 4 criminal indictments, and 34 felony convictions, and coverage from the big 3 networks that was 85% negative opposed to 78% positive for his opponent, Donald Trump triumphed over all of the hate and the haters to win his second term in Oval Office. Even now, his enemies are seething. They want to see some stormtroopers or concentration camps just so they can say they were right about him being Hitler. Alas, there will be none of that. Instead, we will see our enemies think twice about starting a war. We will see families rescued from the democratic economy. And we know we will see crime drop in our streets, and we will have a secure border. He won because people believe that he will make us great again. And he won because so many more women needed groceries than abortions. Try to explain how he survived. There's no natural explanation. His reputation was viciously attacked on January 6, 2020. The so-called insurrection made him a radioactive for any political career. Yet, as he sank to his lowest point, and I thought there was no way to ever come back at that point in time, he picked himself up and began the long road to triumph. That is when everything began to look amazing. He was impeached, but not convicted. Trump was told he could not be president because of their lame interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Time again, they came after him with everything they had. The entire legacy media have constantly made him their target, yet none of it would stick. They threw every weapon of slander, warfare, and intimidation at him. Only this verse can explain it. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Any shred of doubt that I had that Trump would win was obliterated in Butler, PA. Only God could move his head at the precise moment the bullet was fired. He said that he felt that the hand of God pushed him to the ground, and I believe it. No weapon formed against him prospered. At the victory rally in Mar-a-Lago, he said, "I know God saved my life to save America." In the wee hours of November 6th, the state of Alaska was called for Trump, which gave him the presidency. And at that moment, I felt as if I could see fire fall from heaven the way it did on Mount Carmel. It consumed every weapon formed against him. It vaporized the lies, the threats, and the resistance. He is God's choice for America. He's like every president before him is an imperfect vessel. But the Bible explains in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Only God will get the glory for the greatest comeback story in American history. And I would say amen to that myself. Hallelujah. So the whole world is making adjustments. And this is in modern history. I think it's been 40 years or so since there's been such a landslide victory, both in the Electoral College and in the popular vote. And it's just House, Senate, I hope House. I know that's getting close. But an incredible, and it's all because of the prayers of God's saints. Now, we're going to make some things clear. Let's make this clear. We're going to focus on our spiritual victories that resulted in the natural victory. Amen. So I think one of the things that I want to just get across to you today, and those of you that are watching, why we've had consecutive back-to-back, what I would call celebration services. Last Sunday, we had the worship team up here at the end, and we had the kids come in, and we were celebrating. And it was kind of, you know, it was, the kids were jumping. It didn't seem like for some people that's church, but, you know, the word said the children celebrated in the temple when they saw Jesus open blind eyes and the lame to walk. And so I thought it was so wonderful. We're going to do that again this week. And, you know, if you can't jump or if you can't run or if you can't, whatever, we're not asking you to, if you just can tap your toes real good, real strong. So that may be your Pentecostal way of celebrating with us. But I think celebrations after victories are wasted because people don't celebrate enough. You know, the Jewish people, if you study all of their celebrations, man, they have long celebrations. You know, sometimes a whole month or 2 or 3 weeks. They just like, we remember, okay, God, we're tired of, you know, celebrating, but we remember what good things that took place. Our enemies going forward in this particular message will be referred to as, or our enemies referred to henceforth, will be understood as spiritual enemies. We're not talking about our physical, that we have physical enemies or we're up against or against certain people or certain parties. And yet sometimes concerning these enemies, spiritual enemies, they do control men and women and mankind. So we have to understand that. But what we're after and what we want you to understand is the spiritual aspects of this. Okay? Hallelujah. The people of God, now this is in all caps as far as my notes are concerned, the people of God are far too kind. Is everybody with me? Okay. We got a nursery if anybody, and there we got good people that take care of little babies if anybody needs that. The people of God are far too kind. Far too kind and merciful in the face of victory that ultimately results, in their defeats. I'm going to say that again. And again, I'll remind you, I'm talking about spiritual things. Can everybody say this? Pastor is talking about our spiritual enemies. Okay. So in that aspect, the people of God are far too kind, often far too kind and merciful in the face of victory. And that ultimately kind of turns the tide. It ultimately results in their defeat. They don't know how to finish. The church usually does not know how to finish. We need to know how to finish. Hallelujah. There is never a moment for graciousness in total victory. Again, I'm going to remind you, I'm talking about spiritual. But sometimes people, and I've got this in my notes, so I don't want to misconstrue it, but there's a graciousness that's not to be offered. And I'm not talking about people as much as I'm talking about platforms and agendas and considerations and consolidations and a coming together. And let's explain. Don't get cute with our victories. Be loving, be kind, but hold the course. Stay the course. And I'll just quote this, although this is not meant to be sarcastic. It is what it is. President Barack Obama said, elections have consequences. He said that when he was elected. And they said, yeah, but we don't like, the Republicans and people on the right said, we don't like this, what you're doing. He said, I understand, but elections have consequences. Hallelujah. Landslides have consequences. And I think we need to have a spiritual mentality that it's an opportunity for the future and what we need to do with it. Listen to this. Please listen to this carefully. The immaturity of the underdeveloped church in the love of God, understanding the love of God, does not know how to distinguish between the love of God for people and the relentless pursuit against spiritual darkness. They get it hobby-lobbed. They get it all mixed up. They get it like, okay, I'm supposed to love. Yes, you are. But you're supposed to have an endless pursuit of destruction against spiritual wickedness. Are you getting this? I'll read it again because I thought it was a great statement from the Holy Spirit. The immaturity, because the church hasn't been taught. It's a mix match. A meshing together that people don't understand in the church. The immaturity of the undeveloped in doctrine and truth and love. The immaturity of the undeveloped church in the love of God does not know how to distinguish between the love of God for people and the relentless pursuit against spiritual darkness. Listen to this. You can just listen to these verses. For sake of time and what we have to do at the end, you don't have to turn here unless you want to, and are very quick. I'm just going to give a reference and go straight into it. Deuteronomy 7:1, and this is when the children of Israel were commissioned by God to go in and to take the land. And with the Lord, he says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations that are greater than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. What I told you from the beginning, I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm talking about how our mentality has to be as believers going forward. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy, no mercy. Everybody say no mercy. You're to show no mercy. Say, I'm to show no mercy to the realms of darkness. Hallelujah. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters thou shalt, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Joshua died giving the, and we don't have time to go in this or even read scripture, but go to Joshua, read the last of Joshua, and he conquered so many nations. I think it was, I can't remember exactly, 45 or 35. He conquered, and yet there were other nations that he gave the commission to. Joshua closes, and then it goes into Judges. And so Joshua has just died, and he's the one that was trained under Moses, and the baton was passed over to the different heads of the different tribes, and there was more for them to conquer. And you go into Judges, the first chapter, and you find out that at the end of it, I believe, is where it talks about they never finished. They stopped short, and they built cities. And then once they built cities, and then they started marrying, and God said, don't do it. Don't marry them because they're going to turn your hearts. Don't have any mercy at all. Do exactly what I've said. And Judges 1:28 says this, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. In other words, they started saying, you know what, we'll let these people stay in our land, and we'll just tax them. Tribute means tax them, and maybe they'll be good for us. And again, I don't know how many times I have to remind you. I think you understand we're talking about spiritual things here. We're not talking about moving groups of people. We're not talking about anything in the demographics of people themselves. We're talking about something in the heart of Christians that maintain a place of authority. Once you begin to win, you need to just keep on winning. Don't slack up and say, "Ooh, boy." If you can reach out to somebody that's hurting, like that's not born again or maybe voted in another way that we don't believe is acceptable according to the Word of God, that's wonderful. But make no concessions to your faith. And let's stand and continue to do this thing. Why? Because, well, let me just continue. It's better me stay in my notes. I won't drift too far. Israel never finished in their promised land conquest. They didn't finish it. They made concessions. Israel would win, and then they would make concessions. They would win and make concessions. I don't know about you. You're probably not as, you may not need as much help as I do as far as my dying process. But after some of my greatest victories, sometimes in times gone by, I think it's getting much better now, is you'd slack off. Do your fast, do your praying, stay in the spirit, and you win great spiritual battles, things would come, and then maybe you slack off. This is not a time to slack off. It's a time to get laser focused like never before. I hate giving you the 6 weeks off. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. Don't backslide during those 6 weeks of not coming to church and praying on those Sunday nights. Listen. It's laser focus time. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and keep going faster. Christians win and then they make concessions. The people of God do not know how to celebrate in their victories. They're too merciful in their spiritual, to their spiritual enemies. When you say merciful, listen, let me read some things out of the book of Psalms for you in just a moment. Enemies of the flesh, both. And I'm talking about enemies of the flesh, spiritual things, both personally and nationally, are able to resurface because many people don't finish. They just don't finish. Victories become defeats for many Christians because they don't go all the way to the end. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 18:1. I have to read through this and hopefully not do much commenting because I'll never finish. I will love the Lord. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about and the snares of death prevented me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God and he heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him even into his ears. Do you believe that God has heard us? Last week we celebrated in preface in faith. Now we get to stand in the thing and worship God. Hallelujah. Then the earth shook. Why? Because God hears his people. He hears his people. And the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth or angry. There went up smoke, this is the best way he can describe it, from his nostrils and fire out of his mouth and devoured. Coals were kindled by it, and he bowed the heavens also. And he came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And yea, yes, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, and his pavilion round about him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed and hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens and the highest gave his voice and hailstones and coals of fire. Yes, he sent out his arrows and he scattered them and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And then, you know, we're talking about spiritual things, but even in the natural, you look in the spirit realm and you see how that God has a conquest and it affects things in the natural. Have you seen a scattering that's taken place? You know, part of our confessions was, and I gotta mark my spot there. Part of our confessions for months was this, that the Lord would send confusion to the camp of the enemy. And we had three places. We went to Gideon. We went to, with Jehoshaphat and his army. We could have included, you know, we could have included Hezekiah, 185,000 Assyrians killed in one night by an angel coming in there. And just, there were several. We did, Miriam's, you know, her song, how that God overthrew all of them in the sea. but how that God just scattered the enemies through coming and just getting in the right in the midst of the enemy and destroying them from within based on their own darkness and their own confusion. But let me continue to read here. It says that the brightness of verse 12 that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones, coals of fire, and the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones, coals of fire. Yes, he sent his arrows, scattered them, shot out his lightnings, discomforted them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. He's really given this ominous look at the power of God, and that's the God that we serve. They were discovered at his rebuke, at thy rebuke. O Lord, the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies and from them that hated me. And they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth in a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands has he recompensed me. You know, prior to this election, there has been several different national gatherings. And then we were part of some of those in different, you know, we had times here where there was a consensus of not only asking God to change and bring America back to him, but the preface of that was repentance. You can't be an Achan. You know who Achan was? He was the one that sabotaged Ai's victory. You can't be an Achan and praying for change. Once you step out and say, God, cleanse me. I've been doing stuff. I've been holding grudges. Cleanse me. Then you become an agent for change. You begin to be somebody that God can look at and say, I'll use your authority. And he used the authority of his church for the change that took place just this past week. He said, I've kept thy ways, O Lord, and I have not wickedly departed. For all your judgments were before me, and I did not put them away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanliness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright thou shalt show thyself upright. With the pure thou shalt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou shalt show thyself froward. And he said, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high look. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop. This is what we're seeing, folks. The glory of God. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. For as God, his way is perfect. Come on, people. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and hath made my way perfect. He's made my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon the high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Hallelujah. The church cannot be merciful to its spiritual enemies. I have wounded them. Listen, it is. And again, we're talking about spiritual things and staying the course and fighting for what we believe is a worldwide harvest, something we affectionately called revival outpouring. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried. They cried. The enemy, the spiritual wickedness is really mourning. They cried, but there was none to save them even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. And I like verse 42. If I read the whole thing, it was for this. Then I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Folks, we have to finish. We have to go forward and finish. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, and the stranger shall submit themselves unto me. The stranger shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yes, or yea, thou, almost there, liftest me up above those that rise up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord among the heathen and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he unto his king and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. Now listen to Psalms 35. The Lord, he says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, and fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me, says my soul. I am thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as the chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them, and let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. In other words, show no mercy. Revival is not just the expansion of light. It is, but it's not just that. It is also the expelling and the extinguishing of darkness. 1 John 3:8 says, and he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. What purpose? That he might destroy, take away the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Throughout history, I'll remind you of this, and I wish I'd have had a list because I believe I could have come up with it. Throughout history, catastrophic and world-changing events in the natural have often been coinciding with great spiritual moves of God. If you go back to the Pentecostal movements and different things that took place in the Great Awakenings, there were either civil wars, world wars, earthquakes in Los Angeles, different things that just preceded something happening in the spirit realm. And the spirit realm is in control of the natural realm, but the natural realm usually gives a telltale sign that something is being birthed. Hallelujah. So I'm excited. The window is, listen, this window, and it is a window, it is for the expansion of light for the harvest before the window closes. The victory in the natural is not the harvest. This isn't the harvest, which happened this past Tuesday, but it will assist what God wants to do in the harvest. It'll give a great assistance to it. And do not mistake, I want to say this, the Antichrist spirit has not left the planet. It's not been destroyed. We know by scripture that the Antichrist, the dragon, or Satan is the dragon, the beast is the Antichrist, and that spirit that controls the Antichrist that has not left the planet, it will have its greatest days on the planet yet to come. There will be a time where the Satan Satan, the trifecta of Satan, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, they will all rise to a great time of persecution. But I'm telling you, until then, there is a window of opportunity that has been arisen, that has been given to us, that we are to fight for and to celebrate like never before. But just like God gave Josiah a window of reformation before Israel's total collapse, God is giving us a window for the coming harvest before everything else closes down. Let me give you this scripture, and then we're going to do some things here. This is in 2 Kings chapter 13. I love this story. It identifies with something that I see in my heart and my mind of how tenacious we have to be and going forward. Let's finish with toothpicks. Now Elijah was fallen sick. This is 2 Kings 13:14. Elisha, you know, that great prophet, he was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died eventually. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrow." And he took unto him bow and arrow. So Elisha's trying to minister to Joash, this king, and he's trying to help him to defeat his enemies, his physical enemies. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he did, the king did. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. In other words, he got him in position. He said, "Take the bow, the arrow," and Elisha put his hands on him as if to bless. The king knew what was about to take place. He knew that God was imparting something spiritual to this physical academics of what was taking place. And he put his hands on him and he said, "Open the window eastward." And he did. And he opened it. And Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria," because that was the opposing nation, "for thou shalt smite Syria in Aphek, till thou hast consumed him." And he said, "Take the arrows." So he had a bundle of arrows. And he said, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice or three times, and he stayed. In other words, he stopped. And the man of God was angry, or wroth, it says in the King James, but angry. He was furious and said, "Thou should have had smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed them," or you would have consumed them, "whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Listen, here's what he was saying to the king. He said, "Take these arrows, take and hit them on the ground." And the man, he didn't explain all this to him, but he knew the significance. He said, "When you shot that, that's your victory." So he knew that his blessing him, laying hands on him, that taking that bundle of arrows and smiting them on the ground was in determination against his enemy, Syria. And so he just hit him three times and stopped. Listen. Why? He was angry. He was angry. I know this. I used to like to watch boxing and stuff. And I'm not validating any of this stuff. Some people say this is just too violent, and it has become very violent. But listen, when you get your opponent on the ropes, you don't say, "You know what? I almost had you. I feel sorry for you." Once you take, he was saying, "Why didn't you just continue?" Listen, how we as Christians, both personally in your own life, whatever you're fighting and winning, whether it's physical or spiritual, once you begin to see the victories, take the arrows and beat 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 until there's nothing but straw, nothing but toothpicks, nothing but left. "Oh, I think I got the victory." And maybe Jesus says, "That'll do." And you just say, "Well, I got two or three more because I've been tired of being tired too long. I've been tired of being sick too long. I've been tired of being..." Listen, there's a place of victory, but the saints of God oftentimes back up and they get kind. Don't get kind to your flesh. Don't get kind to the spiritual enemies. It's time to win, and it's time to stay extremely laser focused towards this outpouring. And let me say this, and I think this really is the last verses, but this is what we want to build a memorial on. Throughout the Bible, and if I could have taken time, and we didn't have time, of course, this occurrence took place several different times. And this is only one of several different memorial places. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and this was the victory after Israel. This was a memorialization after Israel crossed the Jordan. It came to pass when all the people were clean past Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe a man. And he commanded them, saying, take you up hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm 12 stones, and they carried them over with you, and carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall be lodging at tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, cried, or out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said, he said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up every man you a stone. Now these weren't pebbles, they were carried big, as much as these guys could carry, because they built an altar with it, or memorial place, upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean is ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let us, or let our children remember that we prayed into existence, both in the spiritual and the natural, this great victory. Amen. We can't forget this, and we can't forget where it's probably another major step into this outpouring. Now, it's going to be easier for our worship team just to put on some, we're going to do a couple of songs, probably from soundtracks. We're going to ask you to all stand. Somebody go get the kids in just a minute. And please don't leave until we've had our celebration, because you'll not want to leave, because you'll really want to be a part of what's going to take place at the end. So, hallelujah. Robert, why don't you go up here anyway, so we look like we've got a worship team up here. Where's your lovely wife? She's probably over the... So, I'm inviting, and a couple of you guys get this, I'm inviting the whole church, visitor, non-visitor, whatever, member, whatever. And if you're more comfortable there, that's fine. Nobody should feel intimidated in any way. But please, everybody come forward and let's fill up the front one more time, okay?